fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately precedes this show. Also here this morning, Jeffy from Chewing the Fat, that podcast, which is available wherever podcasts are sold for free, as is mine.
Correct.
Yes. And again, now, Chewing the Fat, does that have anything to do with physique of the host? Or
no, it's just the title of the show.
Yeah, you're chewing the fat. It's like a conversation. Yeah. With me. Let's just go somewhere and chew the fat.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I just wanted to clear that up.
I'm reminded that the logo has my face on a side of beef.
Again, that's just coincidence,
yeah,
right?
Just coincidence.
There was nowhere else to just put your logo, and they just had a side of beef handy.
Right.
So they superimposed it there, which is interesting. All right. 888-727-BECK. Glenn is, I think he's like he's having a weekend with Tony Robbins or something.
This is not going to end well.
I wouldn't think so.
This is not going to end well.
Last week, I spent the weekend with Stephen Covey. He visited me from beyond the grave.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we spent the weekend together. So it's interesting now that Glenn's doing the same thing with Tony Robbins. Huh.
Wow.
Fascinating. Really horrific shooting in New Zealand. At least 49 people were killed in mass shootings at two mosques full of worshippers attending Friday prayers on what the Prime Minister called one of New Zealand's darkest days. One man was arrested and charged with murder in what appeared to be a carefully planned racist attack. He apparently freely and openly admits he's a racist and hates immigrants. And he said this was revenge for their invasion. We'll get into that and much more coming up on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If fake news was a product, it'd be a superfood. And I'll tell you why. If you take a look at a superfood container, it has a supplement facts panel. Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. I thought this was superfood. That means that's extracts instead of real food. With the goal of creating a real superfood, specially designed to enhance your health and to help you reach your full potential, a team of top physicians gathered to form Brick House Nutrition. And they're introducing Field of Greens. Now, Field of Greens is the real superfood. And the difference that sets it apart can be seen right there on the bottle. It has nutrition facts, not supplement facts. One scoop of Field of Greens has a full serving of real, certified vegan, vegetarian, USDA organic fruits and vegetables, complete with prebiotics, probiotics, and antioxidants. Never have a salad again. For a limited time, just go to BrickHouseGlenn.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Get 15% off your first order. It's BrickHouseGlenn.com. Experience the better you tomorrow.
Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed and Jeffy this morning for Glenn. 888-727-BECK, the phone number to call. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the events in Christchurch, New Zealand, represented an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. And many of the victims apparently might be migrants or refugees. She said it's clear that this can now only be described as a terrorist attack. In addition to those who died, health officials said 48 people were being treated for gunshot wounds. So 48 injured. Last I heard, it was 20. Injuries ranged from minor to critical. The guy talked about doing this. He bragged that he was going to do it. And then he live streamed it. Apparently, he rigged up a camera on a helmet and filmed the whole thing. It's really, really horrific.
And don't forget about his great 87-page manifesto.
Was it 87 pages?
Jeez,
he's just nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just crazy. CNN is hard at work, even as we speak, trying to blame Donald Trump for the shooting. In a place where this doesn't happen, right? America is the only place we're told by the left all the time. This is the only place this ever happens. And then when it doesn't happen here, it's still the fault of the president. Because they can't blame the gun. not in New Zealand, where guns are virtually banned, not in Australia, he's from Australia, this murderer, where guns were banned and confiscated. So you can't blame the gun, because they've already done everything they could possibly do to rid their society of guns. So they've taken to blaming the president, because everything's his fault.
No matter what.
Right. No matter where it happens, and no matter what it is that happens.
Read between the lines. It's a dog whistle. It's all his fault.
And by the way, again,
I love
dog whistles are whistles that only dogs can hear. That's why they call them dog whistles, because they're at a frequency so high humans can't hear it.
So
if you're using dog whistles, no human is hearing you. If it's a dog whistle code, that's fine, because nobody heard it.
It's kind of what we want.
Except dogs, and they're not going to do anything about it.
You hope.
What hope? Yeah. I feel pretty confident that the dogs aren't going to do anything about it. So when the dogs hear the dog whistle racism, so what? If your dog is racist, oh well. What are you going to do about it?
You keep them on a leash is what you got to do.
Right. That's right. So it's just a crazy world. And it's amazing how every single time it's Donald Trump, every single time it's white people. I mean, it's so bad with that right now. We were actually blamed for white air pollution this week. Whites are polluting, I guess, minority neighborhoods and then sneaking back really carefully to their beautiful suburban life where it's clean, fresh air, that country air that you breathe. And so you're not breathing the stuff you went and polluted in another neighborhood where the minorities live. I mean, I don't even know how that works. How does that work?
I'm not quite sure I understand it myself.
It's always white's fault. You know, the white privilege thing. So if you've accomplished something, so what? You had white privilege and you were given all that stuff. No matter whether you worked for it or not, it was given to you. And there's white income inequality, and there's white pollution, and white people are just bad. So deal with that. Okay.
Deal with it.
It's just it's a crazy, crazy, crazy time. Deadliest attack occurred at the Al Noor Mosque in Central Christchurch at 1:45 in the afternoon. 1:45. So in broad daylight, this guy went out and conducted this killing spree. So 41 people were apparently killed there. And then he drove across town and killed people at another mosque. And he was taken into custody. So the guy is still alive. Unlike most of these psychos, he didn't kill himself at the end. And police didn't kill him either. So he's in custody now. And no doubt we're going to have to hear a bunch of his rantings and ravings.
I hope not.
And his lunacy.
I mean, I'm sure you're right, but I sure hope.
He also went after, they're trying to present this as, okay, this guy is a right-wing guy. But he attacked conservatives in his manifesto. Said, your time is gone. Conservatism is dead. So he's got no love for conservatives. And he also said he considers himself an environmentalist, eco-fascist. Huh.
Fascist
Strange.
Is the word?
Yeah. And fascist, by the way, fascism is not a product of the right either. Fascism is on the left. Fascism comes from big government, which people on the right don't want. So if he's a fascist and an environmentalist, that's not a product of the right either. But that's how it will be spun, is that this guy is right wing. He got all of his ideas from Donald Trump, and then he went and killed people in New Zealand. Christchurch is the largest city on New Zealand's South Island. And the city's been rebuilding since an earthquake in 2011 killed 185 people and destroyed many downtown buildings. So they've had their share of problems in New Zealand over this time period, too. Really sad. And our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of New Zealand, which will be mocked, of course, by the left, because thoughts and prayers do nothing. And apparently neither do gun bans.
Right?
So there's
we've
that.
We've said it all along. You know, the when you have the gun bans, it's the law-abiding citizens
who are without the guns. Yeah, exactly. And see, the criminals and the psychos always find a way, don't they? They always find a way. In fact, in Great Britain, where they also banned guns and confiscated guns, and that happened in 96 or 97, and in the immediate aftermath of that, the gun violence actually went up 300%. 300% up. And then it leveled off for a while. Then it went back up. Then it went down. Then it went back up. And right now, in the last couple of years, it's been about the same as it was before the gun ban. So it did nothing. It didn't help the situation. In fact, what it did was encourage people to get knives and stab other people. So the bad people are still finding a way to do bad things in Great Britain. And it's gotten so bad with the knife attacks that one of the MPs in England, one of the members of parliament, is now proposing that they put GPS trackers into knife handles.
Genius.
It's brilliant, right?
Genius.
First of all, there should also be a 3-day waiting period if you want to buy silverware at a store. I'd like a butter knife. Okay, just sign right here and we'll do the background check. You come back in 3 days. We'll see if you can get that butter knife.
We'll set it in the back for you. It'll be right, waiting for you. I mean, look, if you are just using knives to butter your bread or your baked potato, you don't got nothing to worry
about.
You
got nothing to worry about.
You're fine.
Right. So if the tracker's in the handle of the butter knife, so what? You're not doing anything wrong. I wish, you know, I told the story before. When my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's 18 now, but when she was 3, she actually took a butter knife and buttered our dog.
Was she planning on baking it?
I'm not sure. We fortunately got to the dog and the butter before that happened.
And it could have been sooner, though.
It could have been sooner if we had a tracking device and the butter knife.
Right.
It could have prevented a lot of hassle and a really nasty dog bath. And then when we took the butter away from her, she found another way to cause trouble by yogurting the dog in a full she had an entire container of yogurt that she dumped on the dog, and then
she didn't use a knife on that, though.
No, she used her hands that time.
That's smart. See, so that's what's going to happen.
What do you put a tracking device in her hands, and then maybe
people are going to realize they can't use a knife. They're going to have to use something else.
It's crazy. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's nuts. There's no way to prevent every bad thing from happening in life.
No, there's not.
You just can't do it. We can't safety proof the entire planet. It's not possible.
We could do our best.
We're trying. Yeah, you do what you can, and then, you know, things are just going to happen. 888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you need anything from a simple home repair to a major remodel, you need to know about Home Advisor. It's a totally free service that instantly connects you with top local service pros.
Home Advisor is a very easy way to find a home contractor, and for me, it's the only way.
You can use Home Advisor for everything. Your house cleaning, your painting.
Electricians, plumbers, handymen. We've had nothing but fabulous every single time.
Just select the type of work you need done, and Home Advisor's ProFinder technology instantly finds top pros in your area.
You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use their cost guide to find out what hundreds of other repair and improvement projects cost in your area.
I think everybody should use HomeAdvisor. In fact, I tell everybody to use HomeAdvisor.
HomeAdvisor is a total solution to any type of work you would ever want to do around your house.
And best of all, it's completely free. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, you were talking about people going against faith and prayers and thoughts and prayers. For sure, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has already done that. She tweeted out at the end, what good are your thoughts and prayers when they don't even keep the pews safe? And that was just the end of her tweet.
She is just despicable.
Now,
man.
You know, she, this was, I believe that she was walking around with know, ash on her forehead from Ash Wednesday.
A week ago. Yeah, Wednesday,
so,
yeah.
You know, she's...
it's a little bit of hypocrisy, isn't it?
A tad?
Huh. So you're going to belittle people of faith, even though supposedly you're a person of faith?
Right.
Unbelievable. I mean, she is really something, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And I think that she's becoming more really something to many other members of Congress. So I don't know how, I mean, she might be a one term.
That's the one good thing, is she's rankled so many feathers in Washington, including Nancy Pelosi's, that I think the Democrats will primary her.
It feels like they will.
I'm hoping that they've had enough of her nonsense already, and they've got another year and a half of it. So there's going to be a lot more from her that they just can't stomach, and they're going to want to get rid of her.
And I don't know how you know, with the way the press loves her, though, it's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah. Glenn brought something up yesterday that I don't know if I should reference it, but it is...
Oh, no, I watch it. You're talking
fascinating.
About the choice thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I watch
there's
that.
There's a guy...
I don't know that I believe that.
There's a guy named Mr. Reagan. You can look this up and check out all the details. But he goes into an interesting theory.
Yeah, he does.
About AOC and where she came from and who is behind her campaign. It's... I mean, I'll leave it at that, I guess. But it's interesting.
It is interesting. And
I'm not sure I don't believe it.
I know. You want to believe it. I did.
I don't know if I want to, but I think I do. I mean, he's got some compelling video evidence of it. And I'd like to see more of it. But last I checked, there were 1.4 million people who had watched that video. You can go to YouTube and just type in Mr. Reagan if you're interested. It's fascinating. It's at least worth a look.
Oh yes,
you know.
Oh yes, it is.
And you know, don't take it to the bank because you know who knows. There's a lot of stuff in there that may be completely inaccurate, but he makes a really good case.
Yes, he does.
So you wound up not believing it?
No, I wound up wanting to believe it. You know, like I felt like, man, that's right. But then every time I see things of that nature,
it ends
up being false.
True. That's very true. Yes.
And so I don't want to be had.
It felt like if you buy into this, you know, you would have to buy into
a bunch of other conspiracies
stuff and all of that.
And then,
and I don't.
You know, 2 months from now, we're going to get called out saying, ha ha.
Right.
This was all fake.
Yeah, faked it. And I mean, you could take the video clips that he showed out of context. But I was trying to think, okay, in what context would that have been said?
I know.
That makes it okay.
And I think that's why we really haven't seen it everywhere, right? I mean, a million people have seen it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So some people have seen it, no question. But it's not everywhere. It's not prevalent. And I think that's maybe why, right? Everybody's just kind of taking a step back with it.
Proceed with caution. But it's interesting.
Watch it.
It's interesting. 888-727 BECK. Almost used the phone number there for Pat Gray Unleashed. Also... Gunmaker Remington, it's been ruled by the Connecticut Supreme Court, can be sued over how it marketed the AR-15 used to kill 20 children and 6 educators at Sandy Hook
this
in 2012. That's incredible. That is an incredible, frightening,
it sure is.
Terrible ruling. Gun control advocates touted the ruling as providing a possible roadmap for victims of other mass shootings to circumvent a long criticized federal law that shields gun manufacturers from liability in most cases when their products are used in crimes. Gun rights supporters obviously bashed the decision as judicial activism and overreach. It was a 4-3 decision, and they reinstated a wrongful death lawsuit against Remington and overturned the ruling of a lower court judge who said the entire lawsuit was prohibited by the 2005 law. Obviously, this is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It has to.
Because this can't stand.
No.
What a great way around the Second Amendment.
Right.
To go after the gun manufacturers. You know they're going to do this. This is the plan. You know, okay, we're all about the Second Amendment.
Of course we, of course.
I just think these gun manufacturers have to be held accountable. Well, if you drive out the gun manufacturers...
Oh, we're not saying you can't have guns.
No.
Why, is that what you're trying to say?
We're just saying they can't be manufactured. That's all.
Well, they could be manufactured at great cost.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to pay $150,000 for an AR-15, go ahead.
It's your right.
It's essentially what they did.
The Second Amendment.
That's what they did with the machine gun, plus put some other restrictions on it. But they're incredibly expensive. Incredibly. And they could do the same thing with the AR-15.
Absolutely could.
And they want to. You know they want to. They'll go after the bullets, and they'll go after the guns themselves.
Oh, it's a weapon of death.
And then they'll say, no, but I'm all about the Constitution. I love the Second Amendment. What? No, I've never said the Second Amendment.
It's just that these weapons are not right. Weapons that everyday people should be using.
Well, they're obviously for one purpose and one purpose only, and
that's
to kill people.
We
don't need that.
No, we do not.
We don't need that.
No one wants that. No one wants
that. I'm telling you, they've been trying this kind of stuff, and to get that support from the Connecticut Supreme Court, that's exactly what they're looking for.
It sure is. No one is a bigger Second Amendment supporter than me.
Oh, please.
But something
has to be done.
Thank you.
And if it saves one life, isn't it worth it?
Yes.
Yes. More Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
This podcast is sponsored by SimpliSafe.com/Glenn. I love doing commercials for SimpliSafe because I have this system. In fact, I have it in my office even, where we have a lot of collectibles. So when we lock up the doors on the weekend, we know nobody's going to, steal the ruby slippers or the cup of a carpenter. SimpliSafe is the best home security. They believe nothing should come between you and protecting your home. SimpliSafe has created a system where you own the alarm system. So for $14.95 a month, they give you the 24/7 monitoring. It's all wireless, so you don't have to worry about somebody cutting the lines or the power going out. All of it still works. Get a jump on protecting your home the SimpliSafe way. SimpliSafe.com/Glenn, GLENN. No time like the present. This is how you protect your home and your stuff. SimpliSafe.com/Glenn.
Great to have you with us on this Friday morning on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK, if you'd like to get in touch with us. During the course of the show, we've got Beto O'Rourke, who announced this week that he is running for president. So,
and you knew he would. Even though he said he wasn't going to, you knew that
he unequivocally said he wasn't going to.
Absolutely said he wasn't going to. But look, he and his wife heard what the American people said and wanted, and he had to run.
Well, when the American people are clamoring for you to run,
right.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, you can't say no to that.
You could, but...
No, you could. No.
You actually could.
You could. You can't.
Don't have to run.
You have to go against what you said earlier. You have to go. Sure, people are going to think you lied.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter because the job is too important and you're too important in it.
But the country is too important.
Plus, if I could quote him for a second, man, I was just born to do this.
Is that a full quote?
It's a full quote. Man, I was just born to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yesterday, this is... mandatory. He had to start talking climate change and the important fight on climate change. And here's Beto in that regard.
The current president says he doesn't believe in climate change. I don't know how many countries there are on the face of the planet. 192 muscle manos.
Muscle manos. Thank you, Spanish.
The indispensable nation be the only country that has removed itself from any obligation to work with anyone on perhaps the most pressing problem. If you think of our leadership, those who preceded us, right?
Yeah,
those
right.
Who were on the beaches in Normandy, those who faced an
Please
existential
don't do this.
To Western democracy and our way of life, they showed us the way. We can all come together, we can unite, we can marshal the resources, and
we can come together.
Convene the countries of the world around otherwise unsolvable problems.
Sure.
That's who we are. That's why they call us the indispensable nation. Well, that moment is now for us on this issue.
Thank
so if
you.
There's a time to reassert global leadership and make friends instead of enemies, it's today because the challenges are too great to do otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot there.
Perfect.
But the comparison
there's a lot there.
To storming the beaches at Normandy.
I mean, you can well see how you get there.
No, actually, I can't. Jeffy,
really?
Can you help me with that?
Because because we're the indispensable nation.
Right.
And people, other countries are just waiting for us
to fix it.
I mean, we all saw in the documentary Independence Day.
That's
when
right.
the world was going to be taken over by aliens, the other countries were just waiting for us to save them, and we finally did.
And we did.
Because we're the indispensable nation.
Do other countries actually call us the indispensable nation, as he asserts?
They may call us something nation.
Yeah.
I don't know that the word is indispensable.
I don't think it is, actually. I would be so insulted if I were a World War II veteran for his comparison to Normandy.
Oh, my God.
For the climate change fight. It's just pathetic. And we need to come together. We need to bring the world together on this non-existent problem. And we also need to bring the world together to find the tooth fairy. I want to do both of these things.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I want to bring the world together and finally find the tooth fairy, because I'm a little hacked off at him. I'm finding that he is giving my grandkids like $10 a tooth.
Whoa.
I got 25 cents.
Don't have your grandkids talk to my kids.
Really?
Yeah, because he's ripping my kids off.
That's why we need to come together.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
And find the tooth fairy, him or her. I think the gender is fluid on the tooth fairy. I don't know. But we need to come together and find that non-existent being, just like we need to fix this non-existent problem. Now, is it a problem that the world has warmed 0.9 degrees in 100 years? It doesn't scare me that much.
What?
Especially since we've had an 18-year pause here in the meantime. Because warmer weather does what? Helps food grow. And so I'm not seeing the real major change. Do you know that even NASA came out this week? Even NASA came out and said the increase in ice has offset any melting there's been.
Huh.
Huh. So you're saying it's melted in some places, yes, but it's also increased in other places.
So really what's happening is the Earth and Mother Nature are just kind of taking care of itself.
And sort of doing what it's always done, which is fascinating. You mean the weather has changed before on this planet? When did what? No. Until man, it's always been static, right? It's always been the exact same.
If the oceans didn't do what the oceans do, we'd have melted by now.
You kidding me?
I mean, those are reports that have actually happened.
Yes.
Carbon emissions also trap heat. Today's report shows oceans have absorbed 90% of that heat, raising ocean temperatures by half a degree.
Uh-huh.
Had all that heat gone into the atmosphere,
Air
temperatures could have risen by more than 200 degrees.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Think of that. If the Earth didn't function the way it's supposed to way it does.
We'd be dead.
Yeah, it'd be 260 degrees today in Dallas. 260 degrees. Now, that's a tad uncomfortable.
Just a tad, yes. You're running your AC a little extra then.
I don't think we could afford the bill. I really don't.
No.
Not if it's 260 outside. It's bad enough when it's 105. If it's 260, that wouldn't be good.
No, it would not.
So, I mean, it's so ridiculous.
I love that clip. That's one of my favorite clips.
Me too.
It's just amazing to me.
Because it's like, wait, you didn't know that the Earth did this? You didn't know the ocean absorbed heat? Seriously?
If every car ran a red light, there'd be accidents at every corner.
Yes.
Amazing.
Right. Who knew?
It's just amazing. It's just fascinating.
It's asinine. And that's why the problem is just, they look at us like we're science deniers. They can deny all kinds of science, like actual gender.
My gosh.
Yes. Like whether a fetus is a human being before it's born. All of that kind of science they ignore. But if we are skeptical that there's catastrophic climate change already,
we're the crazy ones.
We're crazy. Yeah, we're out of our minds.
Right. You're not doing anything. Why do you hate the planet?
Yeah. Why do you hate people? Well, no, you're the ones who say the world is overcrowded. I don't hate people.
We've got plenty of room, actually.
Plenty of room.
You don't like it here, move someplace else.
Every single person, every living person, I think we've given this fact before, every living person on this planet could fit on the island of Maui. Every person on Earth. Now, it'd be a tad crowded, but you could. You could fit all 7.5 billion of us.
Think of that.
On Maui. The world's not overcrowded.
Wow. That's
It's an amazing statistic.
That sure is. That sure is. And, you know, obviously, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't. No.
We don't want
it
that
wouldn't
to
be
happen.
Advisable.
No.
Because I'm afraid that the island might tip over and capsize.
Yeah, maybe that's what Hank was concerned about.
Yeah, maybe.
Was that, you know, he was thinking of that fact.
Right.
When he talked to the naval.
I think he was it a general? Or was it
admiral of the Navy?
It was in the Marine Corps, a guy in the Marines, I think.
My fear, his fear is that, was that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I love the response.
We don't anticipate that.
What a classy kind response.
Yeah, well, and he was an admiral, and it was just...
an admiral.
And he's like, we don't anticipate that, sir.
We don't anticipate that.
And as he's walking out, though, I think it could be heard saying, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You know, he had a good time when he got back to the barracks or wherever.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, 888-727-BECK.
And look, something's got to be done, right? I mean, even Rick Perry is saying that he's open to talking to AOC about the new Green Deal.
This is amazing.
You know, he...
What is the matter with Rick Perry? So Rick Perry wants to sit down and talk climate change? The Green New Deal with AOC?
Look, she shouldn't be just, rebuked for pushing the new Green Deal.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
She should not
now
be rebuked.
He said that, you know, it she shouldn't be castigated for pushed aside just on the face of her comments. I mean, she wants to live in a place with clean air and water. So do I.
That is unbelievable.
Now, he later went on to say, you know, suggested a blanket rejection of the new Green Deal would be counterproductive. So there you go. You can't just completely reject it.
A blanket rejection of spending $60 to $100 trillion on this non-existent catastrophic
problem. But I think you can understand, like Rick, that you'd rather be agreeable.
No. No. No, I can't. And this is the problem with Rick Perry. For a while, you go along and you think, man, he's really good. No, I like what he says and does. No, he's been a great governor. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, that'll come out of his mouth. And you're like... Wait, what?
I'll just shoot her down.
Wait, just tell her no. I mean, that's ridiculous. And when you hear a ridiculous proposal, that's how you should treat it. No, I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. Now, because she's 29 years old, we're supposed to treat her like she's a child, according to some. Who was it that was just talking about her youthful enthusiasm? Oh, it was Geraldo Rivera on Fox. He was saying... that she shouldn't be dismissed and she shouldn't be mocked and she shouldn't be laughed at. She's only 29 years old. Come on.
Yeah.
29. She's not four. She's not 4 years old.
Well, I mean, Pelosi
she's
was
a
saying
grown
that,
woman.
That Omar was, you know, not responsible for her, didn't know the weight of her words, right? She's 37. You know the weight of your words.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
You know the weight of your words.
Absolutely. You do. Yep. All right, 888-727-BECK, Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. There was a mob hit this week in New York for the first time in a while.
Yeah, since like 85, right? Since Castellano got killed in front of the steakhouse.
Mm.
And I don't know that it's a mob war. It's more of a takeover. Francesco Frankie Boy Cali 53. Multiple gunshots.
Mob-ish, I would say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Frankie Boy Cali.
In front of his home.
Oh,
I know. He got shot 6 times. There were 12 shots. He took 6 of them.
Oof.
And it's amazing how he came out because he, you know, the guy.
Didn't they run him over, too?
No, they did not run him over. I know a lot of people said he ran over because he was under the car.
Yeah.
He was crawling away trying to save his life
from
the shooter.
Wow.
So that's what made people think he was run over because he was under the car, but no.
Oof.
Because the hitman backs into Callie's car and crashes into it, and backs his truck into it,
mm-hmm.
which is, by the way, we're looking for a blue pickup truck.
Okay.
And there's none of those in the state of New York today.
No.
And so Callie comes out of the house and to see what's going on. Right?
Without his protection?
I know. He felt comfortable. The wife and kids are in the house.
I mean, as a mom boss, you should know better than that.
You're smarter than that. I know. So he goes out to see what's going on and then walks out. And the guy, you know, gets out of the truck and his license plate is on the ground. He picks up the license plates and hands it to Frankie Boy. And Frankie Boy turns around to throw it in the car, and that's when he starts shooting him. And and gets him from that. I mean, it was. And look, there's footage. There's home security footage of the blue truck, and there's of the shooting. You know, but nobody could make out the guy's face, the shooter's face, or any of it. They got nothing. He's family. You know, he's a nephew-in-law to John Gambino. Okay, so the wife is.
Oh yeah,
the
this guy's the head of the Gambino family.
Yes,
and
yes, he is.
But somebody just got out of. Was it Gotti's brother that got out of jail?
No, he took over after Gotti died. Right, John Gotti was the guy that killed Castellano in front of the steakhouse. You know, so to take over. But Gotti's brother Gene was just let out of the prison a few months ago.
I'm sure that's just coincidence.
This is just part of the story.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
My gosh. No, you aren't thinking that he was responsible.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So, I mean, he was in prison for a long time over, you know, selling heroin and doing heroin trafficking. And
I'm sure it was a setup. He probably didn't do any of those things, right?
And he's only been in prison for, you know, I say a while, 29 years.
29 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a little happy to be out.
And then, coincidentally,
a few months.
The head of the Gambino family is murdered.
Yeah. And so, I don't know.
Fascinating.
I don't know if Gene's going to take over. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an opening. What's he going to do, say no?
No. You wouldn't.
I mean, it's tough living to be in the mob these days. It's tough living. It's not like it used to be. It's not the good old days.
No.
It's not the good old mafia days. It's
you
tough
can't just
living.
Go back to Sicily for a while and hang out and hide away. And there's you just don't do that.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore. That's tough. Yeah, you know, you got the cartels.
Yeah,
you got the government breathing down your neck. You got the Russians. I mean, it's tough.
It's a tough life.
You gotta downsize a little bit. Your crew's got to be a little bit smaller.
Oh,
you be a little,
no.
Yeah, I know.
No, they're not living as high on the hog as they once were.
Not quite.
Oh,
I know.
Don't say that.
Well, I know it's frustrating for me, too.
Oh, man. So are the cops not really trying to solve this?
I don't know.
I mean,
of course they're trying to solve it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're shooting up a neighborhood. I love they quoted some of the neighbors in the neighborhood, and the one comment was, there weren't a lot of neighborhood barbecues going on.
No kidding. Really? With the mob boss of the Gambino
family?
I'm
sure they're trying to solve it, but I don't know how much information they're getting.
Yeah, I'd like to... I'd like you to come over to my house for a barbecue over there. I'd like to make you an offer you can't refuse over there.
You're listening to Glenn Beck. Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
And welcome to it. Great to have you with us. 888-727-BECK. It is Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. Jeff Fisher from Chewing the Fat. Both podcasts you can find wherever podcasts are sold for free. So you don't pay a single dime for them. It's awesome.
Don't.
And you can hear Pat Gray Unleashed immediately preceding this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Operation Varsity Blues heating up.
Operation Varsity Blues.
We'll get into
college
it in
scam.
In just a second, after a 1 minute break, and then we'll get right back into it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought tooth and nail for a government-run healthcare system? One that scripted portions of White House speeches behind closed doors to ensure the passage of the Affordable Care Act? The organization that stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC instead, the conservative alternative. AMAC offers the same kinds of money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Become an AMAC member right now at AMAC.us/radio. AMAC fights for your values, protecting our borders by enforcing common sense immigration laws, supporting small business, and standing up for your individual God-given freedoms. AMAC is the way to go. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight by becoming a member today. The benefits are great, but the cause is even greater. Join right now at AMAC.us/radio. That's AMAC.us/radio. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn today. 888-727-BECK. All right. So the latest on Operation Varsity Blues.
I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what's happening, right? So Laughlin is out on bail. I mean, I don't know that I feel as safe as I did when she was taken in custody. But, you know, it's
no,
okay.
No, because she's back out on the street, isn't she?
Yeah,
they did finally come up with bail.
Yeah, they did.
And now Lori Loughlin is wandering around free somewhere. I'm scared.
And look, she can travel. She's been working in British Columbia, and the judge said, okay, you can go there. That's it, though.
She doesn't need to, though, because she's been fired by the Hallmark channel.
Right.
Again.
I mean, it is.
No due process. Can she have her day in court first? I mean.
No.
No.
No, they cannot.
No. It just doesn't matter anymore, the due process in this country. You're just fired instantly based on the accusation. Now, she's probably guilty, I guess, but you don't know that for a fact yet.
No, and look, Hallmark has, I mean, completely pulled the plug, right? They were saddened by the recent allegations.
Yeah.
But we'll no longer be working with Laughlin, and we've stopped development of all productions involving her.
Wow.
And she's been a big thing for them.
Yeah, did they shut down the show then?
I guess.
Does everybody have to pay because she paid to get her daughter into school?
I guess, yeah. I mean,
wow.
What, are we presumed innocent?
Because my wife and I, we used to watch this a few times. When Calls the Heart, I think, is the show, right? And that was the Hallmark show. So if they've stopped production of it, there's a lot of actors and actresses that are affected by that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the show still
unfair.
Goes on.
I don't know. And unless they just wipe out her character.
Right. Which is possible. Yeah. We're just not dealing with her anymore. Yeah. Gone. She's gone. What happened to Mom? She's gone. Mom? Who?
Right.
Just Dawn.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. It just seems strange. I mean, they keep for the Jussie Smollett case. I mean, they kept ramming it into our face that he's a presumed innocent and he's claiming not guilty, and we have to let justice take its course.
And so he's still on that show.
Yeah.
Which they had the first new episode of Empire, I guess, was it Wednesday night?
I missed
since,
it. I'm sorry.
Since
I love,
the big scandal.
I love television, and I apologize for missing it.
Yeah, I missed it as well. And so did a lot of other people because it was way down in the ratings. So maybe people are just disgusted by it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, they were struggling.
It's interesting
anyway.
That they have. They're waiting for that to play out.
Right.
I think that's a good thing. Even
I
though
think it is too.
What he did is reprehensible.
Now, Hallmark can absolutely do this. And look, Hallmark, you know, I guess prides themselves in their squeaky clean Hallmark world. So,
you
know, any kind of stain on that, they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get it.
They can't have Operation Varsity Blues ruining their
tonight's episode Inside Home,
a Quinn Martin production.
I love it.
Then on a very special Jake and the Fat Man.
Love Jake and the Fat Man.
It's interesting too to get this inside look at the Hollywood elites that think they're above everything, including their kids not getting into schools they don't deserve to be in.
Look, she wanted the best for her kids, right?
Yeah,
I can understand the cheating aspect of it. I don't understand the bribery, you know, the coaches that are taking money to do this. You know, I mean, think of the guy that's doing this for them. I mean, he's the, what's his name, Singer or whatever?
Yeah.
He's the guy. Uh-huh. I mean, he's out there bribing these coaches.
Right.
And, you know, think of the job he's doing. I mean, he's working hard for you.
And he admitted. He said, yeah, I've done it all more.
How do you do that?
More.
Think of that. You go, you walk around campus going, hey, how's the rowing team coming? What are you pulling down here? I was like, what if I throw you an extra $1 million? You let this kid in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it would be hard to turn down.
He's out there working for you.
Well, the USC athletic official, the athletic director official, somebody in the athletic department that helped get Lori Loughlin's child in, got $500,000.
Right.
Just from this one event?
Right.
$500,000?
So I see going after these guys. I really do. Because that's complete mistrust and fraud. But the parents just want the best for their kids. I mean, you're going after the parents? Come on.
Yes, you're going after the parents.
They just want the best for their
kids. They're scamming the system. And the problem is, really, it plays into that the rich just think they can get away with murder in this country.
Okay, well, but so what if Loughlin built the Loughlin Hallmark building acting class
then
building?
Then nobody would
USC.
Have a problem.
Nobody would have a problem, would they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I'm kind of torn.
Nobody would have a problem with that. And that is true. That is true. As far as her daughter, Olivia, I think is her name, Olivia Jade.
Yeah, Olivia Jade.
She apparently makes $30,000 to $50,000 per episode of her Instagram posts that she does.
Good luck.
She's got a bunch of sponsors, and they pay her a fortune for that stuff.
Good luck.
That's
good
amazing.
Good luck keeping that, though.
No, she's not going to now.
Good luck.
Right? They'll all drop her.
I mean,
it's too bad. It's too bad they had to do this.
Yes.
You should have followed the rules, and because you had a great life.
Right. She didn't want to do it anyway.
And your daughter's doing fine, and she said she didn't want to be in school
anyway.
She
didn't want to do it anyway. You're forcing her to do this, and you went about it the wrong way, right? You're forcing her to do it, and you went about it the wrong way to make her do it.
Right.
So, I mean.
Right.
Then, you know, having the FBI arrest you and going through all this seems a bit much for this to me.
Yes. Well, especially the way they arrested Felicity Huffman this week.
Well, I mean,
they busted into her house, guns drawn.
You could not have her turn herself in.
Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy were going to have a shootout with police.
Right.
Come on.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get up and have a big shootout. Really?
If you would have called them or their attorney, I'm sure she would have turned herself in the same way Lori Loughlin did.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit of overkill.
There's still a few people on the list as part of Operation Varsity Blues that have not been apprehended.
Yeah.
So some are turning themselves in. They're waiting to be turned in. And some are on the run. You know, some they're out looking for still. But
Then
it goes back to, well, you're treating the rich different. They have to just turn themselves in. Well, yeah. You know what? Yeah. That's what I'm doing. It's okay.
I think if it's a violent crime, you treat them somewhat differently.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, but thinking
this is pretty white collar.
I don't think that they're going to be armed and dangerous, which is what you're assuming if you're arresting them with guns drawn.
Yeah, well, that they say that's standard procedure, and I'm sure it is.
Okay.
But do you need to bring them in that way? It's kind of overkill.
Right. But listen. I don't know. It is way overkill as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, they're criminals, and that's what happens, right? Especially when you're involved in Varsity Blues. I mean, it's crazy. And again, let's go back to what a great point that you made about
due process.
The whole due process and presuming them to be innocent because they're already guilty.
Yeah, that's completely gone.
We've already put them out in jail.
Presumption of innocence is just not a thing anymore in America. As it applies to your job and public opinion, you're just done.
You're
accused of anything like this,
you're guilty.
Or you know, saying something stupid to a woman or doing something stupid with a woman in the workplace. You're just done. You're just over.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're guilty or not. You've been accused. And that's enough now.
Amazing.
888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Here's an unfortunate fact that applies to most financial advisors. They're not legally required to act in your best interest. Creative planning is different. Our certified financial planner practitioners are always a fiduciary, which means they're required by law to always act in your best interest. Call 866-CREATIVE or visit creativeplanning.com to learn more. Investment strategies recommended by Creative Planning are not assured of earning a profit or avoiding a loss in declining markets.
Are you tired of plastic chair mats that dent or crack and the corners curl up? You need a glass chair mat by Vitraza. They're made of super strong glass, strong enough to hold 1,000 pounds and never dent. You'll glide on a smooth glass chair mat, and they're beautiful. Want to know how to get one? Buy direct at Vitraza.com. We stock 12 popular glass chair mat sizes and ship to your home or office free. Order online and save 10% with discount code GLASS. Vitraza.com.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. All right, let's talk to John in Utah. John, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey, Pat.
Hey.
Jeffy, how's it going?
Good.
Doing well. You're really concerned, good, or you're just making small talk?
Absolutely not. I couldn't.
Yeah, not cutting. Yeah, okay. That's what I was feeling some of that.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So the 2019 legislative session just wrapped up here,
yeah,
in Utah. And mm-hmm. Apparently, in the budget, they set aside $1.5 million for a shrine for Orrin Hatch.
What?
Nice.
What?
Yeah,
a shrine to Orrin Hatch. $1.5 million.
Yeah, and
you gotta be kidding me.
Orrin lobbied for this. He wanted $2 million for it.
Seriously?
That's yeah.
That's embarrassing. He should be ashamed of himself. Orrin Hatch lobbied the Utah legislature to provide $2 million for a statue or a shrine to him.
Well, yeah. Well, part of it is that they're going to do a replica of his office in the Senate.
That is crazy.
Good.
So,
and it's only, look, it's $1.5 million. 1.5.
Right. Out of the whole budget of Utah, I'm sure that's just a drop in the bucket.
Oh.
So... Hey, go ahead and do it. Is anybody but you hacked off about this in Utah, John?
So I'm hearing a lot of people that are annoyed, especially
annoyed isn't hacked off though.
Here.
That's
hacked off.
That is crazy.
I know annoyed isn't hacked off though, because people get annoyed and then up goes the shrine.
You're right. They get annoyed and then they just provide $1.5 million
right.
For
people
a
get
shrine.
Hacked off. Maybe it doesn't go up.
Thanks, John. I mean, do people not remember who Orrin Hatch is? What he did while he was in office?
40-year senator is what he is. Okay,
and
my friend.
And a good one, too.
Okay.
That sided with Ted Kennedy on every issue. I remember there a while ago, this is maybe last year, when Ted Kennedy's son was talking about Kennedy and Hatch's relationship.
Yeah. Because you're working with them.
Because that's how he did. He forged these personal bonds. Him and Orrin Hatch,
mm-hmm.
You know, Orrin Hatch, I think, got elected probably bashing your dad.
He
know,
says
right?
it.
Yeah.
He came to Washington to counteract my dad's vote. Orrin Hatch did.
Right. And
ended
then what happened?
Cutting every deal in the world because he knew it was going to pass. If Ted Kennedy signed off on it and he was sponsor of it, then boom. Everyone else would say, oh, well, geez, if Orrin and Ted are for it, then bang.
Right.
Yeah.
What
bang.
A revolutionary
bang.
Concept.
Hello, Utah. Did you maybe not hear that little? Did you maybe not follow his exploits during those 40 years in office? Orrin Hatch was terrible. He was a terrible senator. I wouldn't give one penny to a shrine to Orrin Hatch.
Now, this article from Salt Lake Tribune said we could spend the money in more responsible ways.
Oh, you think?
What?
You think?
What? Is this some sort of quack
writing
this article?
look at the byline. Who's responsible for that? For that article? That is just unconscionable.
Oh, this is Michelle Quist. She believes the hat shrine is one more sign of Utah's GOP's bro club.
Yes. And
yes, it is. Yeah. You're 100% correct, Michelle.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't agree with the Salt Lake Tribune on much, but we're together on that.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's despicable. Mike in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, Pat. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Just wanted to talk about why people get pushed into doing some of these things with the Varsity Blues. For instance, my child was a valedictorian, 5.0, had over 150, 200 community service hours, but couldn't get into a Florida school because we had Florida prepaid and our tuition's like 10% of what the out-of-state people pay. So here we're stuck having to send our child somewhere else because of money issues with the school, and I don't think that's fair. And I think that's part of the thing that pushes these people.
Wow. So with a 5.0, which
of a
4.0
courses,
possibility.
Yeah, well, they have the thing now.
Yeah, I know.
It's a new thing, I guess.
I know, and that's amazing.
1,400 on the SATs.
Did you say?
1,400 on the SATs.
Wow.
How much you pay for that? What's what I'm wondering?
That's about what you have to do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the kids that
Thank
are not
you.
Getting in that
that's
deserve
crazy.
It, and it's all because of money.
I'm not aware of the issue with the schools though on that, because I had Florida prepaid too at one time, and I don't know that there was ever a problem with that. I mean, my son ended up going to a school outside of Florida, so it never mattered. But
it's the tuition. They get four times the tuition. Out-of-state people pay $25,000, where we only pay $3,000 a semester.
Right.
So they try to get more people from out-of-state at the Florida schools. Is that what you're saying? So they get higher tuition.
Exactly. And it's not only in Florida schools. It's in other states, too. It's in Illinois. Yeah. It's in New York. Yeah. And it's all about money-driven. But now they can sit there on their high horse, and somebody tried to help get their child in. You know, they're the ones who'd be a little bit investigated, too. And I don't mean to sound like
I understand that. Thank you. I know.
You got a legitimate beef.
People pay money.
Yeah.
What I know that they want the best for their kids. I understand that, and that's why it's so strange that they're taking such a hard line with them. But I got it. It's a crime, and nobody wants to
look
do
at it
that.
This way, though, Mike. At least you're not building a shrine to Orrin Hatch.
I didn't have 1.5 sitting around in the backyard. Anyway, because he's such a great guy.
Thank you. He's fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Thank
All
you,
right,
Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
888-727-BECK.
I mean, Orrin gave years
of service
to the state of Utah and to the country of the United States.
He sure did. And dedicated service to all kinds of not so conservative causes, and in some cases very liberal causes.
But when he went into office,
he went into office campaigning virtually as as the opposite of Ted Kennedy, and then he got to office with Ted Kennedy, and they became the best of friends, and then agreed on everything. That's great.
I know we've kind of chatted about this before, but how many times has that happened the other way? How many times that happened the other way? Let's see. Orrin Hatch would get voted in, and he would go into Washington and meet Ted Kennedy, and Ted would go,
You know what? I'm going to vote with Orrin.
Orrin and I are together on this.
Let's see. Carry the one. Zero. It happened no times.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it never happens. I don't know. For some reason, it's always the conservatives who go the other way.
Because
in the Supreme Court,
along, right?
In the Senate, everywhere.
We try to get along.
Yeah.
We want everybody to get along.
Well, the hip kids, I guess, are on the left for some reason. And so you want to be one of the hip kids. And so you go along with their agenda. And Hatch did it from just about the time he got into office all the way through. And now you're going to build a shrine to the guy in Utah? Ridiculous. Wow.
But only $1 million shrine.
Only
$1.5 million. $1 million shrine. That's it, though.
If the Hatch family wants a shrine.
Trailer? You get a trailer for $1.5 million, don't you?
And yes. But, if the Hatch Foundation wants a shrine, build it yourself.
Let the foundation build it.
Yeah, let the foundation pay for the whole thing. The people of Utah don't have to build that. They don't have to pay for it. That's unbelievable. Don't get me started. Well, it's too late. I guess you already did get me started. It's just madness, though.
It is. And look, that's just greed.
It's madness.
Right? It's just greedy. It's just, look, we've got the money, or we could raise the money through our foundation, but why?
But we don't
want to. Get the taxpayers.
Exactly. And what do the taxpayers get out of that? They get to go and
pay to go see it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, look, there's some papers he signed with Ted Kennedy.
at least when you know, owners of sports teams convince a city or a state to chip in funds to build their stadiums for them, for these billionaires, to the taxpayers, to build their stadium, at least you get to go to the stadium and enjoy the team that, you know, you love.
Hey, you still have to pay for that too, though.
Yeah, you do. You do have to pay to get into the stadium.
You still have to pay for that.
Afterwards.
I was always for that, but I'm kind of against it.
Me too. While I want new stadiums,
I know, me too.
They shouldn't be built by tax dollars.
I know. I agreed. Agreed.
They should not. I mean, how many poor people own sports franchises again?
Yeah, no. It's your team.
No. And by the way, if we don't have the stadium built, we're going to take it somewhere else. And go ahead.
Right.
See ya.
Will I still be able to pay and see that team in the other city?
Yes.
Like I could pay and see the team here?
Yes. Oh, okay. Same thing. Same arrangement.
I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you don't pay to build the stadium because it's already in the other city.
So it'd be cheaper.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
See you later. Right.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
I have the honor to introduce you to one of the best people I know. His name is Mike Rowe. The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. This is a great podcast that gives a unique take on American history. He explores everything from pop culture to politics, athletes to actors, history to Hollywood. It's called The Way I Heard It, and he shares stories for the curious mind with a short attention span. Each episode is 10 minutes or less about a famous person or an event that you know, filled with surprise. Surprising facts that you likely didn't know. Start with episode 36, Oh Brother. I mean, you want to talk about a family divided by politics? This story revolves around another presidential election about making America great again. I love the big reveal at the end, but I won't spoil it for you. You'll love it. Go to micro.com/podcast and listen and subscribe to The Way I Heard It. That's MIKEROWE.com/podcast. That's micro.com/podcast.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK. In California, they have stopped the death penalty. They stopped executions.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So they're not going to execute criminals anymore who have, you know, potentially murdered one or more people.
I mean, like 737? 737,
yes, that are waiting for their execution. Now they got a reprieve. They will only execute babies, as they have been continually for the past 46 years, roughly.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those executions will continue,
huh,
unabated, but the executions of prisoners will not.
Fascinating.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's fascinating. Now, the people of California have voted. They've rejected
time and time again
to end the death penalty.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, the people of California want to kill things.
Yep. Yes, they do.
It doesn't matter. Babies or inmates, it doesn't matter.
Yes. Yes. But Gavin Newsom has decided, no, the intentional killing of another person is wrong. Huh. But it doesn't seem to apply to babies, though. Again, it's interesting. It's not wrong when you're killing innocent children. It's just wrong when you're killing somebody convicted of doing something that deserves the death penalty. Then it's wrong.
Right.
And as governor, I will not oversee the execution of any individual. He called the death penalty a failure that has discriminated against defendants who are mentally ill, black and brown, or can't afford expensive legal representation.
Now, you know, I know that there are a number of people that do believe that, actually, but, you know, Texas is not one. But there are plenty of times, like the last person that we executed here in Texas last week, he was in prison since 1989. I mean, he's gone through how many appeals for that?
Wow. That's 30 years.
So if we haven't figured it out in 30 years, I'm guessing you were guilty. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
California hasn't executed anyone since 2006 when Schwarzenegger was governor. And voters, as you mentioned, narrowly approved a ballot measure to speed up the punishment,
right?
Not stop it. Still, no condemned inmate faced
imminent
execution.
It doesn't matter what the people want. Though.
It doesn't matter in California. Look, no, they've overturned the people's will how many times now? How many times? Over and over again. They did it with Prop 8 years ago. They're doing it again.
Look, we know best.
Yeah, well,
we know you voted for it, but
you're too dumb. You don't know what you're talking about, so never mind. That's amazing.
It sure is.
The unmitigated gall of Gavin Newsom, the giblets he has to just deny the will of the people. That's just, it's despicable.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And again, it does not apply to the unborn, sadly. You know, if you want to stop those executions,
we can start there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Let's work our way to the convicted criminals.
Yeah,
and start with
that would be nice.
The innocent unborn children. We can start there,
but they won't.
No, they will not.
No, they won't. An Alabama judge, by the way, has ruled that a 19-year-old in Alabama will be permitted to sue the abortion clinic that terminated the life of his unborn child. Now
he had the Did he have an abortion?
No, his girlfriend did.
So,
and it's her body. What does he have to do with it?
Zero.
Exactly.
Zero.
That shows you what right-wing kooks they are in Alabama.
All right.
Ryan Meggers, 19, Madison County in Alabama, alleged that his girlfriend attained a medication abortion in 2017 despite his repeated protest that she please let the child live.
Wow.
Madison County Probate Court Judge Frank Barger ruled that the murdered child, baby Roe, must be recognized as a plaintiff in the case filed against Alabama Women's Center for Reproductive Alternatives in Huntsville. Wow. The unprecedented move comes after the passing of an amendment that granted certain legal rights to unborn babies. Alabama's personhood law, or Amendment 2, was passed during last year's midterms, and it requires the state to recognize the rights of unborn children.
That is interesting.
If you could get that going in every state, we'd have a foothold to stop abortions.
A little bit. I mean, we can start there. I'm all right with that. I don't know that. How do you win that case, though?
I don't know.
I mean, how do you win? Were you in the face of the abortionists, of the medical givers to that caused this? Because I mean, they're going by what she says, right?
Yeah, they're going with the rights of the woman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's her body; she can do what she wants with it. It's that mentality. He said, "I just tried to plead with her and just talk to her about it and see what I could do, but in the end there was nothing I could do to change her mind."
Right. And that's but he didn't go before the abortion clinic people.
I don't know, it doesn't really say. I doubt that he did, but the judge gave him grounds to sue them. The case filing that between the discovery and of the pregnancy and the date of the appointment, the plaintiff repeatedly pled with the mother not to kill baby Roe. Tragically, the girlfriend still went ahead with the procedure, terminating the baby at around 6 weeks gestation.
Wow.
Mm. So now he's determined to fight for his rights as the father of the baby and take a stand on behalf of all men who are desperate to see their own child live. His attorney added that the legal victory was the first one of its kind ever.
Yeah.
So I guess
winning that would mean that at least
it would be a huge precedent.
Yeah, you'd have to consider the father of them.
Yeah, you'd have to consider the father's wishes here, and oh my, the left will not appreciate that.
That will not be.
They will not stand. How dare you?
That will not stand.
Tell her
what
she can do with her body.
Right.
Well, no, it's the body inside her body that I'm kind of worried about here.
No.
Actually.
No, my friend. No. It's her body.
With the separate DNA, you know, that body that's in her that isn't hers.
It's not separate DNA until we let it live, and we're not doing that right now.
I know.
Okay.
And that's what you get in this argument. And it's ludicrous.
Of course it is.
Again, they deny science. They deny reality. They deny there's a human being there. mean, to the point where, what's her face? Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Do you remember when she was asked about it? And she was asked if her babies, were they human when you were pregnant with your babies? Were they human?
You have three children, correct?
I do.
What are their ages?
I have twin 16-year-olds and a 12-year-old.
Okay.
And in your opinion, were they human beings before they were born?
I love this.
You know, I believe that every woman has the right to make their own reproductive choices.
Sure. That's
what did you believe about your children, though?
That I had the right to make my own reproductive choices, which I was glad to a right which I was proud to have.
So were they human beings, or yes or no?
They're human beings today, and I'm glad that I had an opportunity to make my own reproductive choices as that every woman has and should maintain.
Oh, that's unreal.
To be clear, that reporter was run out of Washington.
Oh, yeah.
On a rail.
Oh, yeah. To be clear, though, that's a great holding her feet to the fire.
Sure,
yeah, but were they human?
You sure as
okay, but were
that,
they human?
You don't get that very often.
Yeah. All right. I'm not buying your reproductive right bull crap. Were your children human in the womb?
Thank you.
They're human now.
Now they're human now, and I was definitely glad that I had the choice to make.
If they're human now, okay, so after birth, they are human, but did you support the New York law that you could abort them, that you can still kill them after they've been born alive?
Yeah, that interview was a while ago.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, I'm sure that she did.
I'm sure.
And does.
Oh, I'm sure she did and does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there any doubt in your mind? Debbie Wasserman Schultz would say, yeah, it's a great law.
Not one. It still belongs. It's still choice. Yeah.
Which is, that is really hard to understand, too. Because once the baby is outside of the mother's body, then it's not your body anymore. Then there's an actual human being there to consider. Why wouldn't you give that baby up for adoption at that point?
Right.
Why wouldn't you say, yeah, let the state come in, take custody of it, and adopt it out? Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you allow the baby to die at that point? There's absolutely no reason for it then.
If the child is healthy.
Yeah.
Right, if the child is healthy. There are many opportunities, many chances when that child that is born isn't viable. And I know that sounds horrible, but they're born without some organs, without brains, without things that are, it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but they're talking about children.
But they're talking about
any child who survives an abortion.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
An abortion or being born, let alone surviving an abortion, just being born,
and who have all their organs intact and everything's
doesn't
fine.
Doesn't matter. Right. You survived that? Oh, you weren't supposed to. Dead.
Yeah. Man. So
sorry.
Sorry.
Didn't mean that. Man.
Again, we're not going to kill serial killers in this state, but you got no value.
No, sorry.
Sorry.
No.
It's over for you.
You were not supposed to survive that.
It's a crazy world we live in. It's a madhouse.
It's a madhouse!
Mm-hmm.
A madhouse!
I know, that's what I just said. So, but I got backed up there by Charlton Heston, so you know it must be true, right? 888-727-BECK. More The Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
This is The Glenn Beck Program.
It's Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Also, online, you can listen to the podcast at any time you'd like. Same with Jeffy's Chewing the Fat. You can find those podcasts wherever they're available. And they are absolutely free of charge. And we're happy to provide you with that incredible service.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, we're filling in for Glenn today. He'll be back on Monday. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Mike in New Hampshire. Hey, Mike. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Forgive me at the outset because I'm a man recounting two women's stories.
Oh, no.
So,
How dare you?
I encountered two women in my life, both loved them dearly. And at one point in time, in a confidence, they told me that they had abortions. One had an abortion because it was a burden upon the family going through trouble, marital relationships.
Did they struggle with it?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to... And the other was a date rape in college.
Ooh.
Both. Yeah, the first one, it was 9 years after her abortion, and every year she remembers the day. And I held her as she cried all night long, wondering what her son would have been and what his day, what she would have had. Wow. She has nightmares. I wonder why she'd stay away from me on one particular day. And one day she didn't, and this is what happened. She cried all night long in my arms about the son's face she'll never see. The second woman who had a date rape was the very same thing. And you would think that, you know, they bring up this thing of rape and incest and all that, whatever this case may be. This one particular woman, a good woman, was date raped in college, and she feels such shame that even though societal pressures and they can't walk around not married and pregnant and parent, you know, all that other pressure, she still regrets not standing up for her child. So both of these stories are the only two encounters I've had, but they always talk about this at the moment, and I know human beings can wash stuff away, but when death occurs, it's the only thing you can't fix as humans. And I would just say, I'm on the edge of the death penalty. I understand that, you know, as a Christian, a wasted life is a wasted life. I know I won't get into the deterrent factor or whatever, how many innocent people have been executed. But what I know is there's only one thing we can't solve as human beings, and that's mortality. So I have relatives that have adopted children when they couldn't have their own. They kept the mother, the birth mother, involved. Both children know they got two mommies, and this is the mommy I live with, and this is the mommy. Right. And she was a professional and who couldn't have the children. But you can work it out. Yeah. I don't understand with our ability to know ultrasound, our ability to we do in vitro surgeries now to save children. Yes, there's do. Really the excuse of back alley abortions doesn't hold anymore. We
no,
know
it doesn't.
Exactly what's going on.
That's so disingenuous.
The third month, you're doing ultrasounds. They can probably tell you what color the kid's eyes are.
And it's a common theme between a number of stories that we've heard is that struggling after the abortion.
Yeah,
Realize trying to live with yourself and live with what happened after that.
Yeah,
it's a struggle all around, and I'm torn between the rape as well.
It's a hard one.
It is a really hard one.
The rape is really hard because, her choice was taken away in the beginning there.
Right.
So as far as back alley abortions, that's always been
absurd.
A thing that is disingenuous because it didn't happen very often to begin with. And they inflated those numbers from the very beginning and admitted it.
Yes.
Later. Admitted it. So, this thing has been a lie from start to finish. 888-727-BECK. Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to Glenn Beck. Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy for Glenn today. He's back on Monday. Just having a weird weekend with Tony Robbins.
Right. I mean, I don't know that's going to turn out well. But Tony is full of...
It's pretty intense.
Pretty intense, and he's full of energy and always moving around. And Glenn is not that. And so...
to say that... And Glenn is... Not that. All right, we're going to get back into the meat of the show coming up in a second. We got some great information on Stonehenge coming up in just a second. 888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you need anything from a simple home repair to a major remodel, You need to know about Home Advisor. It's a totally free service that instantly connects you with top local service pros.
Home Advisor is a very easy way to find a home contractor, and for me, it's the only way.
You can use Home Advisor for everything. Your house cleaning, your painting.
Electricians, plumbers, handymen. We've had nothing but fabulous every single time.
Just select the type of work you need done, and Home Advisor's ProFinder technology instantly finds top pros in your area.
You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use their cost guide to find out what hundreds of other repair and improvement projects cost in your area.
I think everybody should use HomeAdvisor. In fact, I tell everybody to use HomeAdvisor.
HomeAdvisor is a total solution to any type of work you would ever want to do around your house.
And best of all, it's completely free. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. It's a big day today for the kids all over America walking out of class.
Yay!
In protest to climate change.
Inspired by Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old Swedish climate activist.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Who was just nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, she deserves
right?
it. Right? She deserves
now,
it.
Now, more than 100 countries... More than 100 countries are participating in this.
Good.
Amazing.
Good.
Amazing.
The kids are going to, they're going to affect change here.
Right.
Fine. They're the ones to do it because they're inheriting this problem, Jeffy. They're the ones who are going to be punished and pay for this.
It's fascinating. Hundreds of thousands of children are expected to walk out of their classrooms today for a global climate strike. Amid growing anger at the failure of politicians to tackle the escalating ecological crisis.
Oh, no. If these kids don't go to school, what will we do? Or if they walk out and stand outside their school for a while, what will we do? what do you think that's going to do to us?
I don't know.
You're going on strike? You're going to walk out of your class on a Friday? So?
But look, it's going to bring light to the climate emergency facing the planet.
Okay, and again, what is the emergency we face? What's
going on? Because of government inaction.
Yeah. What's happening because of the government inaction?
Because there's a climate crisis is what's happening. I don't know what your deal is. I don't know why.
Exactly what part of the climate is in crisis right now?
Government leadership on climate change is the crisis.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I'm just trying to get to the heart of the problem. What exactly is happening in this crisis that makes it a crisis?
Those in power are betraying us, taking away our future.
In what way have they taken away your future?
Because they're responsible for the climate crisis that's unfolding in horrendous ways around the world.
Those ways are what? What are the horrendous ways?
I don't know what you're fighting about.
I'm just trying to find out what the horrendous ways.
Every country is going to be part of this, except Antarctica. No children are walking out of school in Antarctica.
Yeah, because no children live there.
So. I'm just saying they're not part of it. I don't know what you want to do with that.
Little brats in Antarctica. What are you, too good?
Right. Thank you. So it's the duty of these children to act.
Yeah.
For our futures.
Because the temperature's gone up 0.9 degrees.
That's what climate justice means, growing. My friend. Climate justice means this.
More food is growing as a result of the warmer climate. So why is that bad?
Okay, so there isn't a problem is what you're saying.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
No problem.
Whatever.
I'm okay with it so far. What's happened? other than what's always happened, you know? So sometimes it's warmer, sometimes it's colder. And by the way, each of those extremes mean the same thing. Global warming.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So if it's
hotter than normal, why? That, of course, is global warming. Yeah. If it's colder than normal, that also is global warming. And if it's about the same as ever, it's global warming.
Well, I mean, look, it's all escalating ecological crisis.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's
walk out of school today.
And take a stand.
And by the way, you know, none of these kids are just looking for a day out of school.
Well, Greta isn't.
No.
Greta's not.
No.
I mean, Greta's getting a Nobel Prize, or at least she's been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm.
So good for her.
Yeah, that's great. I hope she wins it because what a great cause. getting kids to walk out of class every Friday. Well, and I guess it is every Friday.
Yes, well, now it's going to, right? It's starting to be every Friday around the world until somebody recognizes the crisis at hand.
There you go. If somebody doesn't get hysterical over the fact that it's 0.9 degrees warmer in the last 100 years, then they haven't done their job.
You can make fun of this crisis all you want.
No, I'm scared of it. I'm really frightened over it.
Tired of everyone just poo-pooing this because the Earth is in an ecological crisis.
No, you keep saying that. I'm just not getting the specifics on it. That's all. I'm just looking for the specifics.
Yeah, it's funny that they don't have specifics.
No, none.
It's weird.
Never do. They never do. Al Gore is, well, look at the drought and the fire and the flooding where you see fish swimming down the street on a sunny day. I love that one. That's my favorite one. The swimming fish swimming down the street on a sunny day.
That's the type of ecological crisis we're in right now.
Okay? It is. Don't you mock that, because that's scary. Have you ever seen a fish swim down the street on a sunny day?
Actually, I have.
Have you really?
I have.
Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I have. Right. Yeah, I lived in Florida where the ecological crisis is worse than ever.
Worse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nobody's doing anything about it, Pat.
Right. Even though Al warned us about it.
Hey, I went down to Miami and saw fish from the ocean swimming in the streets on a sunny day. The same thing was true in Honolulu just 2 days ago, just from high tides because of the sea level rise now. We are going to suffer some of these consequences, but we can limit and avoid the most catastrophic consequences if we accelerate the pace of change that's now beginning.
Yeah. There you go.
What's good is there was never any high tide before.
No.
Before the oceans rose up even more than they already are.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't low tide and high tide and any of that.
No, there was none of that. It's because of our SUVs that this has happened. And so, otherwise, you wouldn't be seeing fish swimming
down the street
on a sunny day.
We haven't seen AOC and Al together, have we? With this new Green Deal and Al. I mean,
no, you would think they'd be a...
Yeah, you would. I'm a
pair. Yeah.
I'm surprised Al hasn't backed her up. I don't know what the deal is.
I haven't even heard him mention the Green New Deal. That's fascinating. Why?
I don't know. Don't know. Maybe she's trying to horn in on his money.
Is he jealous of that because he didn't propose something that bold?
Very possible.
I wonder if this little upstart isn't stealing his thunder.
She is.
Yeah. Right?
That is possible.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
It's likely is what it is. It's likely. And, you know, same with Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't like her either because she's stealing her thunder as well.
Big time.
And she's causing problems for her. And so they don't like it.
I mean, the headline, you know, who's in charge and is Nancy who's the boss, all that kind of thing. That could not sit well.
AOC's the boss.
Yeah.
She said so.
The young upstarts are. That's for sure.
Right. 888-727-BECK. Also, did we discover what really happened at Stonehenge? Do we finally figure out that the aliens came down and arranged these gigantic rocks in this particular way because, it was a landing site? Or what is the deal on Stonehenge? I think we've finally gotten the answer.
Well, look, you're right. I mean, there used to be, you know, it was a place for, we thought it was a place for burial. We thought it was a place for healing. We thought it was, you know, the observatory. We thought aliens
were
landing. Right. We thought it was a landing thing. Mm-hmm. But now they've discovered about 8,500 bones. And those bones were mostly pigs and cow bones. So they think it was just a barbecue pit.
What?
They used to have big barbecue. They used to have just big barbecue parties at Stonehenge. They would barbecue pigs and cows, and all the cities and towns and peoples would all meet there, and that's where they had their big barbecue party.
And how did they arrange the gigantic stones
that?
Just for the party.
Absolutely amazing. It's just amazing. How many things?
That's crazy.
We know things for facts, but they're not facts. you know, we know aliens built that. Yes.
Yeah. Stonehenge is a barbecue pit?
Is that a place for barbecue? There's just pig roast going on.
That's fantastic.
I mean, come on.
That's fantastic.
They found all mostly pig bones, so it was mostly pork, but there were some few cows there. They did roast a few cows.
So, you know, it wasn't Texans, because we don't do barbecue pork.
No,
we
it would have been
barbecue
cows.
Beef.
There might have been a pig, maybe one or two pigs thrown in there, but it would have been mostly cows.
So clearly, you know, Stonehenge didn't happen in Texas.
No, it did not, but it's just the community barbecue now.
That is fantastic. I love that.
It was just a place for, you know, the convergence of, you know, all the municipalities to get together and forge alliances between all the neighboring groups and just have fun.
So it's a neighborhood barbecue area.
Yeah, it's just a neighborhood barbecue area.
Nice. All right. 888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hiring is really challenging, but there is one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. It's a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter has become the biggest and best job site because they figured out how to help employers optimize how they hire far more efficiently than other job sites. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They have powerful matching technology, and ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience and then invites them to apply for your job. As applicants come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates so you never miss the right match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Go to this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BECK. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire.
Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed and Jeffy of Chewing the Fat for Glenn today. 888-727-BECK. Operation Varsity Blues. It didn't have to happen. Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman could have gotten their kids into, you know, really nice universities without having to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes.
Yes, it's possible that could have happened.
The other day, a list of colleges came out, and these are the toughest colleges to get into in every state.
Okay.
And even at the toughest university in some states, it's just not that tough to get into some of them. You know, but I guess These just won't do
for the Hollywood elite. I spit at Johns Hopkins University. It's in Baltimore.
I mean, okay, but, you know, some of these are great universities. And by the way, it doesn't have to be an Ivy League. No. It doesn't have to be an Ivy League school to be a decent, to give you a good education. You can get that at, go to a community college and take tough courses.
But the case with these cases are just they want the school, right? They want the school byline is all they want.
Yes.
It's not about getting the good education. They know that the kid is possibly adult anyway, or not adult. Not adult, because they're already using what advantages they have for making money, right? I mean, one kid, Jade, didn't want to go to school. She's using Instagram. She wants to party. She wants to be this influential social marketer, but she didn't care about the school. So what's the point? The point is just having the school as the byline, right? And then we have to have that. You have to go to that school. That's the deal.
Yes, I guess so.
Right. And so if, and again, you know, we need to, you know, reiterate, if they're guilty, you know, because nothing has been set in stone yet. They've been charged.
Nothing's been proved.
Then did we lock them away and throw away the key for wanting the best for their kids? I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
You lock them away and throw away the key because they committed crimes. That's why. Not because they wanted the best for their kids. Thus, Operation Varsity Blues.
Operation Varsity Blues. I love that name. It just first time I saw the name written, all I could think of was, you know, the Quinn Martin production shows of 100 years ago.
That's what I thought of every time.
Barnaby Jones and Cannon. Tonight's episode, Varsity Blues. I mean, I love those shows so much.
You loved Cannon?
Oh, my gosh. William Conrad was the best.
The big fat guy?
He made it known that we could win. By we, I mean
fat people
unite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a fat person can get on a nationally televised television show and be a detective.
That's right.
Or a police officer or whatever
private
he was.
Detective.
What was,
he was a private detective.
Frank Cannon was a
private detective.
Private detective. Yeah. Okay.
He's not working for the police.
So he started on Cannon, right? But he was also on Barnaby Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? He was on both of those, I think.
Those were all Quinn Martin shows, right? So they're all cross-pollinating each other.
Production.
Yeah. They're all cross-pollinating each other. Same, you know, the same layout.
And he was still active, William Conrad. I'm fascinated by his career now because ever since it came up in the then Barnaby Jones,
yeah,
a very special episode. He was still active in 1987 with Jake and the Fat Man.
Yeah, Jake and the Fat Man. He was starting to struggle with his health then.
Oh, I bet. During those years. Because he was, let's see, in 87, he would have been 67. And it went to 92, so he would have been 72.
And by the end of that, I can remember seeing some of those episodes where he would be in court and, you know, it would flash through the table and you see he had his slippers on. I'm not putting real shoes on. That's too much work. I'll put the pants and stuff on, but I'm not.
But we lost him.
I know.
Back in 1994. Sad.
I know. Yeah,
William's gone. He's gone.
I loved him, though.
He was great.
I mean, he was one of the voices, the iconic voices of this country for years.
He narrated everything, commercials, TV shows, movies, everything.
He started out in radio, right? Mm-hmm. He was Gunsmoke forever,
mm-hmm.
and then moved on to TV, and that's the way it was done, right? So that's why no way in today's world is a guy like William Conrad becoming the star that he became. Probably
a guy
not.
Who weighs three or four bills? No, probably not.
I don't necessarily like the way you say that. To be honest,
you're probably not going to see him on TV, right?
Big
fat guy like that, 67-year-old fat guy who weighed 350, 400 pounds
as the star,
as the star. You're not going to see that. Yeah. It's amazing you saw it in 1987,
right?
So,
but he had a great career, and he was William Conrad. Did. You know, look, and that's the same with Perry Mason too, right? There's another guy that, you know, spent the last few years on TV as a star that, you know, probably...
He wasn't totally healthy.
He was. Raymond Burr was not totally healthy.
No, he wasn't.
He was not. And there were times, you know, his last shows, I mean, maybe he wasn't even moving.
Yeah.
You know, those guys didn't... You'd go into a room and he's standing in the room
holding
onto a chair.
Was that when he was on Perry Mason or Ironsides?
Ironside was after the original TV show of Perry Mason, but then they brought back the two-hour specials of Perry Mason,
okay,
which he did for a number of years that were great. But those were the weekly two-hour specials.
I'm sure they were.
They were fantastic. I love every one of them.
I'm sure.
But at the end, he would be like, you know, he'd be in a room and he'd be holding onto a chair talking to him. The next scene, he's in the car. And then he's...
Guess you didn't see him walking
in the car. Yeah, no, Raymond Burr
was the car.
He was not doing any mobile shots.
Yeah. Well, that's why he played a guy in a wheelchair in Ironside.
Before Ironside, yeah. That's a good gig, actually, if you think about it.
That's not bad.
No, it is not.
That's what I look for when I go to the grocery store now. I'm not walking around that place.
No.
Where's the little cart that
I
can drive around?
Get the cart. And there's they don't check. You don't have to actually have it.
Right.
They don't check. Those things are available to all human beings.
Yes, they are.
If you feel that you need it, can use it.
But if you don't need it and you're using it, like the college entrance exam thing, you're taking it from somebody who does need it. Deserves it.
Maybe. I mean, they got plenty. You know, like, this is the only one.
And that has really, that aspect of this, I think, is what people are so mad about.
I think so, too. Yes.
It's because these rich, spoiled kids who don't deserve to be at USC or Yale or Harvard or wherever they bought their way into, they've taken the spot from somebody who deserves it.
And they went about it, you know, like, I guess we were okay. I joked around about the parents, you know, building a building, or, you know, the ultra rich would build a building, right? You build a, and there's Joe's law school,
mm-hmm.
and law school building. And so your kid's getting into that school. There's no argument there. They're letting them in.
I would think so. Yeah.
You just donated a $1 million building. You're getting in. So, you know, I guess it's a little bit different than you, now you're not cheating anyone though, right? I guess it's more right. Like you're cheating people this way.
Yeah.
It's really a strange way to get around the entrance.
Breaking Bad star, Dean Norris. You familiar with him? I don't watch Breaking Bad, so I don't, I guess he plays Hank Schrader on Breaking Bad.
I know the character.
He's really hacked off about it.
Oh no.
He called them rich F-wads. who cheated for their already privileged kids in a bunch of tweets yesterday. We'll share that with you here in a minute. But yeah, right. He's not happy about it. And so a little problem in Hollywood.
No doubt.
With some of these rich Hollywood elites. Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher. Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed. Jeff Fisher of Chewing the Fat. For Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. He'll be back on Monday morning. 888-727-BECK. We were talking about some of the alternatives to these Hollywood stars that they could have gotten their kids into a lot of different schools that are still pretty good schools. And maybe you wouldn't have had to pay $500,000 for entry.
Does seem a little steep.
It seems a tad steep. And is it worth it? I mean, her daughter, in the case of Lori Loughlin, her daughter didn't even apparently appreciate it because she said she didn't care about school. And maybe she's just saying that for, you know, her podcast or her beauty blog or whatever she does.
Her Instagram posts.
Yeah. Where she apparently makes $30,000 to $50,000 per post, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But some of these schools, you know, like for instance, University of Michigan, pretty good school.
Yeah,
27% acceptance rate.
Wow.
So maybe you could get in there.
Maybe.
Or maybe not, because 27%.
That did not sound that good.
I thought it was going to be higher than that.
Yeah.
Belhaven University in Mississippi, the hardest school in Mississippi to get into.
Oh, well, I mean, Belhaven.
59%.
Belhaven, that's like the Ivy League of Mississippi.
Yes, it apparently is. Let's see if you could go up to Montana and get into Rocky Mountain College. 64% of students are admitted.
64, that's probably 64. That's a lie. It's like 80. 80 or 90, but anyway, you go to Montana, they're letting you in.
Yes. Okay, University of Nevada at Reno. 88% of the kids get into
that
school.
Campus is actually beautiful.
It's a nice campus. Yeah, it is. You could go up to Laramie, Wyoming.
And who doesn't want to go to Laramie, Wyoming?
And go to the fine University of Wyoming.
Yeah, the Cowboys, who don't want to be the Cowboys anymore because
97% acceptance rate there.
In fact,
so, you know,
the 3% they didn't accept are the ones that said, you know what, we're not coming there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's about
it. So they've checked off saying, well, we're not taking them.
But I'm looking at the Ivy League school acceptance rates. Columbia, 7%. Wow. That's pretty stiff.
Yeah.
Princeton, 6%.
Wow.
Harvard, 5%. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, you are bribing officials to get your kid in there.
Right.
If they don't have a 4.0 plus.
Or plus. That might not even be good enough,
you
right?
know, 1520 on your ACT or SAT or whatever that is. I guess it'd be SAT.
And hours donated to help the poor and everything else, man. I mean, you're going to be working hard to get that.
Yeah.
That's hard work.
So it's not just the grades.
Yeah.
It's not just your test scores. You've got to have some other incentives to get you in there, too. You got to be kind of, you know, you do some special things.
And good.
And right? That's, I mean, good.
That's what it's supposed to be.
It should be.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, just bribe one of the coaches for $500,000.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
That's what they thought.
Why not? Why
well,
not?
I don't know. Jail? That might be one good reason not to do it, maybe.
You're going to jail for wanting the best for your kids.
Be interesting to see what happens to
them
if they do wind up in jail for
it. It will be.
It'll be interesting.
It will be. I mean, really, what do you think? Maybe probation?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I mean, probation. They
pay a fine, maybe?
Yeah, pay a fine, probation.
Community service.
Say you're sorry.
Something like that.
Right, say you're sorry.
She's already been fired from her job.
Right.
Which is pretty you know, that's serious when you haven't even been convicted of anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I would guess no jail time. Same with Jussie Smollett, by the way. Jussie Smollett, or however you pronounce his name. I don't think he's going to do jail.
Don't you?
I don't think he'll do jail time.
I don't know about that one, my
friend. You think he will?
I think he has to.
You think Jussie Smollett will do jail time?
I mean, it,
how long?
Not long.
Because he faces, what, 48 years or something?
I mean, well, that's going to be silly, of course. But, you know, he goes in for at least a year, right? Got to do a year.
I don't think so. I don't think he will. We'll see. Maybe. But, I mean, he maintains his innocence. And maybe that will hack him off to the point where they will insist on jail time. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, we'll have, you know, look, right. As of now, he's innocent, right?
Yes.
You know, we're just going by what we know. We haven't seen anything in court. There's nothing, you know, the trial's happening next month.
And in the case of Empire, they've done the right thing. They're waiting till this is adjudicated. Right. They're waiting to see if the guy is convicted of anything. Which
unlike
is
the goody two shoes over there at Hallmark.
Right.
Pulling the plug on. That
already pulled the plug on poor Lori Loughlin.
Right.
888-727-BECK. Also, we've got this leftist protester that went into a college Republicans event at Portland State University. Campus police were there at the meeting. And it's fascinating because this guy comes in and disrupts the meeting for over an hour.
This story and clip and is just so
frustrating.
This
makes me angry.
It's so frustrating.
Watch this guy do his thing at a college Republicans event. For those who are listening on radio.
He's just sitting there now.
Ringing a cowbell.
Cowbell.
While the guy's trying to present whatever it is he's presenting.
Leave, and he won't leave. He stands up and now he's walking toward the front of the room. I mean, they ask him to leave. They say, okay, yeah. okay, you made your point. Get out. Nope. Walking up to the front of the room, and I'm going to walk in front of the screen.
So that's what he does. Watch this. He gets into a little altercation with one of the members of the College Republicans Club.
I'm going out. Okay,
in front of the presentation.
I mean, how can you not want to engage this guy?
Well, you'd want to punch him square in the face, is what you'd want to do. Whether you did it or not.
By engage, I mean punch in the face.
Yes. I do. I want to, and I wasn't there.
Right. It's very frustrating. And you know,
wow.
But that's what he wants, right? I mean,
yeah,
he wants that engagement.
Yes, he does.
I know that. And so you in your heart, you don't want to do it. But on the other side of your heart, you want to just punch him right in the face and get him out of there.
And that went on for over an hour.
The police were there.
The cop
campus
comes
security
up,
was there.
Does nothing. Stands there.
I don't understand how they make that happen.
At one point, the guy doing the presentation gets up in the guy's face, in the protester's face. Doesn't do anything. He's got his hands behind his back.
Right, but they're
just
shoulder
walks up
to
him, and they're kind of pushing chests together. And the cop comes up and moves the guy who's doing the presentation.
Right. No. How about you get him out of here?
You don't have the right to ruin this event. Do you? Don't the people in the room that are there for the event have the right to enjoy, to experience the event? I would think so.
I mean, that's what they were there for. They weren't there for you ringing your stupid cowbell for an hour.
The cops should have gotten him out of there.
I think so, too.
It's unbelievable that they didn't.
I'm not even talking about arresting him or anything. I'm just saying, look, you made your
point.
Get out.
Yeah, get out.
You're disrupting this event.
And
you're not allowed to do that.
He starts bragging about it on social media. I've shut this entire S down all by myself, he bragged afterwards. And so, you know, he got exactly what he wanted. He got the publicity.
Oh, no kidding. No joke about that.
And he got the satisfaction knowing that he shut the event down.
Yeah.
So the Republicans didn't have their event because of him and his cowbell.
And good for you.
Yeah. Nice job.
Good for you.
Congratulations. Have you ever seen, I can't think of a time when I've seen a person on the right go into an event on the left and do something similar.
No, but it sounds fun.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, sounds fun.
It makes me want to go buy a cowbell.
I know.
and go to one of these socialist meetings at some egghead college and start ringing a bell.
You'd be arrested.
You would.
You'd be arrested.
Immediately.
You'd be arrested. And
it'd be over.
It'd be your fault. And if there was any violence at all, it's all your fault.
Yeah, or they
100%
you know, five
fault.
People would jump you and beat you senseless, yeah. And it'd be your
and
fault.
Nothing would happen. You'd exactly. report it, and then people would go, yeah, right.
Well, you deserved it. You shouldn't have been there doing
that. What are you doing?
Yes.
Why do you hate them, you racist?
Exactly.
It's amazing. Amazing.
It's agonizing is what it is. But, you know, this is what we have to deal with. This is the it's the environment right now. It's not an environment conducive to being conservative. And it's an
alone that. I mean, it's civil society, right? I mean, it's
yes.
just, I mean,
yeah.
okay, so you disagree with this group that's presenting something in this room at a college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fine.
Tough.
Move on. Yeah. Move on with your life.
I don't comprehend that. How you need to then, they can't have their say.
And I think that's how people on the right look at things. And so that's why they don't disrupt events like this. You know, let them do their thing. I don't care.
So what?
But they want to shut down
right.
anybody on the right speaking out or doing a presentation or trying to educate other people because they can't win the argument on ideas, and they know it.
And so and some of those beliefs are working, by the way, because you can't say anything bad.
Right.
You can't say anything bad. You can't even tweet anything bad. You can't tweet bad. You can't think bad. We'll just, because we're not going to show it.
You will be shut down.
You'll be shut down.
Yeah. You'll be squashed.
Yes. And yeah, I know you believe that. I know that, but we're not, so.
That's right.
Because we don't, and we're going to shut you off.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is.
888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed, Jeff Fisher, Chewing the Fat for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
I am looking forward to this weekend, Pat.
Are you?
Yep. I'm going to go out driving around giving the finger to the cops.
You know, you might not want to.
I can.
It's maybe not the best
Michigan
idea.
Michigan court said I can, baby.
Yeah, the Michigan court said you could. I just wouldn't necessarily do it.
Good for this lady, though, for
yeah,
fighting back
yeah.
a little bit because she was angry at getting a ticket.
Yeah. So a federal appeals court said her constitutional rights were violated when she was handed a speeding ticket, after giving the finger to a suburban Detroit officer
right.
in 2017.
She got pulled over.
She got pulled over. She got a small ticket or something.
Yeah, apparently, you know, was being nice.
Mm-hmm.
As you could be as a police officer, and every one of them is super nice, especially the ones here in the DFW area.
Yes.
And
she flipped him off.
And she got mad, right? She got mad with the ticket. So
yeah.
that's done, right? He's giving her the ticket. So she's driving away, but as she's driving away, she gives him the finger.
And so he gave her a
stiffer
ticket.
So he pulls her
ticket.
Over again.
Yeah.
He pulls her over right then and gives her another ticket. He gives her a speedy, harsher ticket because she gave him the finger. That's
so
the only reason.
She went to court with it. And the court ruled that that's a First Amendment
yeah.
Thing. Giving the finger yeah, is not, part it, of your First
that,
Amendment
that
speech.
That didn't give him the right to pull her over.
No.
And give her another ticket.
Still not a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
But
right,
yeah,
right?
You do. I guess you do have the right to do it. So that's kind of interesting.
It is. I mean, look. Are you gonna? Is it? You're gonna have to prove. Are you gonna? Are you willing to spend the time like this lady to prove that that's the reason the police officer pulled you over?
No,
right? Because
I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that either.
I'm just paying the fine.
I barely have time to prove that the ticket I'm angry at to begin with.
Oh, and we've been very angry at tickets we've received, and have
yes.
not taken them this far.
Yes,
like she
yes.
did.
Because it's just at the end. It's
not
just,
worth it.
It's just not.
Just pay it.
Just not. Worth it. They make
yeah, we just comply.
They mm-hmm. make the tickets just expensive enough to hurt,
yeah.
but not too expensive for you to want to fight it.
That's
you
right.
Know, so it's like, oh,
that's
I don't
right.
want to pay that $184.50. That's ridiculous. That's way too much money. But
if you fight it, you know it's going to cost you a lot more than that.
Yeah, you're spending thousands.
Yeah.
Right. So the mm-hmm. $180. All right.
That's what they do with those camera tickets that you get that they
I
send
know.
To you in the mail. If you run a red light, for instance, and a red light camera photographs you.
You mean like you're in the middle of the intersection and you see your license plate?
They make the ticket just large enough to where it benefits the city, you know, $75 or whatever, but it's not worth it to fight it.
Nope.
Even though you probably should, because I think constitutionally you'd probably win that. You'd win that.
I think, and most people, I think they have before, right? And,
I think they have.
They've shut down a bunch of them, except for the one closest to my house that I go by frequently.
Yeah, there's...
And by the way, the caution is a lot faster on that light, too. I'd like to fight that, too. I'd like to fight that.
You should.
I believe the caution is faster on that one as well. I believe it goes from green, caution red.
Really?
I think so. I think they're supposed to have so much time between
between
the
green and yellow.
Yellow, red. Right? Yeah. And so what they do is they set you up with the longer yellow to red on a couple of them before that one. And then when that one comes, it's shorter. Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Yes.
So they've really planned this
thing
out.
To give me a ticket.
Just
they
to
have
get you.
That. Yes, that's correct.
And has it worked?
It has.
It's worked. It okay, has. Good. Yeah. Well,
and
good.
I'm right there with, I can't fight it. Just pay it.
Yeah, well, you're not going to because it's too much hassle and it's too much money. And it's just easier.
It's just me.
Just comply.
I know. Look,
and they know that.
There's the video. As I'm running the light, just go.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what I've said on each of my 15. Which, by the way, I haven't received a ticket in quite a while.
You've been great.
It's been a couple years, I think.
You've been great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Put that limiter on your car now.
Right. Yeah, the limiter is taking my foot off the gas. That's the limiter now. All right. It's been great. Thanks for being with us. Glenn is back on Monday here on the Glenn Beck Program. And we'll see you on Pat Gray Unleashed.
And Chewing the Fat every day, Monday through Friday.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.